Jesus, it is so sweet to be able to trust in you. Thank you that you are strong, you are mighty, and you are true. That your promises are always true, and your presence is with us no matter what. Thank you for your word, God. In your word, we see who you are, we see who we are, we see our need of you, and we see that you draw us to yourself. So God, as we get into your word, will you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand what you have for us? God, give me your words to speak. God, will you empower us and equip us to live as your people, to be your disciples? In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Well, yeah. Go ahead and turn to the book of Mark. We are going to be jumping back into Mark later in the year, but actually, if you look at where we kind of left off before Christmas, okay? I know, it's been a while since we've been in Mark. This short little passage here is going to dive us into a little bit of a sermon series that will take us till about Easter, and then we'll get back into Mark kind of verse by verse going through that. But, here, in case you don't remember from, you know, around Thanksgiving times, okay? This is the chapter where Jesus talked about establishing his church. It's where he said, Peter, you're right when you said that I'm the Christ, I'm the Messiah, and I'm going to build my church on the rock of that foundation. And then Peter just like 2 seconds later, after Jesus says that the Son of Man is going to be killed and persecuted and all that, and Peter's like, oh, that will never happen to you, Jesus. And then he says, get behind me, Satan. Okay, so it's this whole context. It's kind of the first time in the book of Mark that Jesus has not just alluded to, but has like straight up said, I'm going to suffer and die. So like, they know he's the Messiah, right? Their eyes have been open to that, but now it's like, you understand, but you don't understand fully because you think the Messiah is going to be like this, but actually I'm going to die. And it's in that context, after rebuking Peter, that he then brings the crowd around him with his disciples, and he says to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of the Father and the Holy Angels. So when we jump back into Mark, we will unpack this more. But what I really want to focus on is here's the time. It's like he's not fully revealed, but he's the Messiah, and this is what it looks like. I'm going to come and die. If you want to follow me, there's a cross for you too. And he's talking about the cost of discipleship. Like, what does it mean to be a disciple? So we're going to take the next handful of weeks, and we're going to look at living as a disciple. Okay, now, I like this picture of Pastor Adam actually did it. What reminds me of the Hobbit, okay? Or the Hobbit's journey. Okay, that's not why I picked it, okay? But you have these people that are following right behind Jesus, okay? Because, you see, the picture of a disciple was the one that was following close enough to their rabbi or their master that the dust of his sandals would get on them. So you see, when Jesus is, when he calls disciples to come and follow him, it's not just like follow my teaching, but it's like follow me, imitate me, like what I do, you do. The example I set for you, you're supposed to do. And we see that later on in the book of John, right? He's like, I've washed your feet as an example for you. You're supposed to show the same kind of love to one another. But we're going to know you're my disciples by your love. It's a new commandment. Love one another like I have loved you. And then 24 hours later, he's hanging from a tree showing that sacrificing, self-giving love. We are called to walk in the footsteps of Christ. To live as a disciple. So we're going to talk about that, living as a disciple. And we're going to focus in on some practices that can help us in it. Okay, sometimes some people will call these like spiritual disciplines, like things that we can do that help us grow. Okay? And they help us grow because they're kind of like avenues that bring us in the presence of God, and that's where we're changed and transformed. So today, as we kick off living as a disciple, we're going to talk about getting into the Word of God. Okay? And so, you know, from right at the beginning, like, here's the challenge, that we would be people that are regularly getting into God's Word so His Word can get into us. Okay? And it's interesting. Somebody mentioned a study, and they mentioned a study about what is that like daily time with God, like daily reading His Word? Like how does that impact people? And here's an interesting thing. For people that do it, I think it was either 3 or 4 times a week. So you're in your Bible 3 or 4 times a week or less. it doesn't really impact them all that much. It was for those that it was like 5 to 7 days long. And so here's the challenge. I don't want you to be discouraged. I just want you to say, I only read God's word like X amount of days a week. No, but here's the thing. That constant and consistent letting God's word get in our head and our heart will impact us. And if you do it this much, and you bump it up to this much, you may see an exponential type of impact. Okay? So that's the encouragement that I want to give you. That we will be people that are getting into God's word so that it can get into us. We're going to be bouncing around a little bit in the scriptures today. I'll have them all up on the screen. But we're going to start in Jeremiah 29. Okay, there's a very famous verse in here that people love to like grab out and throw on a wall. Okay, Jeremiah 29:11. But here's the context of it. This is actually kind of a review against false prophets. You see, the Israelites have been exiled into Babylon, and there was all these false prophets saying, God's going to bring you back, he's going to bring you back, he's going to bring you back. Well, right now, he's going to bring you back. And God sent Jeremiah to say, those are false prophets. You will come back, but it won't be for 7 years. Okay? Now, if God were to, like, let's say we were all in Babylon, and God says, you will come back, but it won't be for 7 years, how many of us do you think would be actually coming back? Yeah, okay? Because I'd be over 100. Okay? So if you like maybe some of these people, right? Not pointing you to the behind me. Okay? So he says you are going to come back, but it's not going to be right now. And they're like, 97% of you won't even be in your lifetime. So put down your roots. Pray for the good of the city. Live for the good of the city. Because when the city is blessed, you'll be blessed. And then he gets this, okay? So, what's that?
Turn my microphone on. There we go. Is that better? Sorry, people online.
Start over.
That's okay. I'm kind of near the beginning. Okay. All right. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So sometimes we just throw that on the wall. Look, God has good plans, which like that is true, but this is a promise specifically given to those exiles. Because he says, you will come back. And in verse 12, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you. And he promises to bring them back. So here's one of the nuggets from here, okay? God is not trying to hide from you. He wants to be known. He wants to know you, and he wants you to know him. And he's given us, he's revealed himself to us in history. He's revealed himself to us through his word that God says, when you seek me, I will be found by you. And that's one of the important things why it's important for us to get in God's word, because this is one of the ways that we seek God and that he is revealed to us. In 2 Timothy, Paul gives this exhortation to the young man Timothy. He says, but as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So Paul says to Timothy, who again was a young minister, he said, I want you to remember what you have learned from the time you were a child. You have learned the truth of the Scriptures. These Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation. They reveal the way of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, all of Scripture, he said, it's come straight from God. It's breathed out by God. It's from Him. And it's useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Why? So that you can be equipped to do what God wants you to do. You see that it's through the Word of God, through His Spirit, that we are shaped and molded and empowered to do the work in front of us that He's called us to do. So we see from this passage, there's a couple things we can see what getting into the Word of God does for us. Like one, it makes us wise for salvation. It lets us see who God is. Lets us see the way to be saved. And it's useful. It's useful to teach us, to train us, to rebuke us. And when we read something in God's Word and we're like, I am not living that way. God, will you help me? That God's word is useful to equip us. It's very important for us. Moving over to the book of Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews says the word of God is living and active. It's not a dry, dusty book. It's alive. It's empowered by the Spirit of God. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. God's Word exposes us. And that sounds scary, and in some sense it is, but it's good. God's Word opens us up, and we can see ourselves as God. Like, there's no hiding from God. And so God's Word exposes us, but it not only exposes us, the very next one is, therefore, because God's Word exposes us, we have a great high priest who's gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. So let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. We have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. So let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. You see, the Word of God exposes us, reveals us, but it also brings us to Jesus, where there's forgiveness and grace, where there's power for a new life. That's what the Word of God does for us. Let's look over at Psalm 119. What else does the Word of God do for us? How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your Word. The psalmist says, I will seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. When we get in God's Word on a regular basis, that's one of the ways God keeps us from sin. Like, His Spirit through His Word, as we're focusing on that, that's one of the ways that we put our sinful nature to death, that we walk in His way and not in sin. I heard one preacher say something about about being in Scripture, like, reading this will keep you out of sin, and sinning keeps us from reading it, right? But here's the interesting thing. That passage from the book of Hebrews, when we come to the Lord in the midst of our brokenness and our sin and we're exposed, where does He lead us? Into the throne room, because we've been covered by the grace of God. And so, yes, God wants to use His Word to help us walk on the straight and narrow, to stay on His path, to keep out of sin, but it's also where we need to go when we have royally messed up, when we've walked in sin. You see, it helps keep us from sin, and it also provides spiritual nourishment from us. When Jesus was being tempted by Satan in the desert, you know, He was there for 40 days and 40 nights in the desert, hadn't eaten, and so Satan is like, hey, if you're the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Now, would that have been a bad thing Jesus could do that, right? But He's basically saying, you don't have to submit to God's way. You can do it. You meet your own needs, Jesus. And what did Jesus say? Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. How many of you guys eat every day? Yeah? How many of you remember what you ate for dinner 13 days ago? Anybody? I don't. Did it nourish you? Hopefully. I mean, depends what you ate, okay? But you ate. So here's the thing, okay? I know it's kind of funny, because we're like, yes, we eat every day, okay, like three times a day, sometimes more. Maybe you do intermittent fasting, so it's not as much. But every day we're getting physical nourishment, okay? And if you have too many days without eating, it's called starving, and it's not good for your health, right? And it's the same thing spiritually. Like, when we are neglecting God's Word, we're neglecting one of the ways that God provides nourishment for us. And it's not good for our spiritual health. Now, I'm not talking about this like legalistic, you've got to do this and do this and do this, but being in God's Word is a way that we are shaped and transformed. It's a way that helps us walk in His way. And so we're going to be talking, so these are kind of like why it's important for us to be in God's Word, and we're going to also talk about how do we do that. Because you see, we need that daily reminder. Like, the goal of being a Christian is to be made into the image of Christ. Like, that's what Paul said in Romans. He says, everybody who's believed has been predestined to be made into the image of Christ. Like, when God saved you, His goal is to make you like Christ. Now, that's not going to happen in our lifetime. We're not going to, like, completely be made like Christ, okay? But in 1 John, John says, when He appears, we'll be like Him. Because in the flash, in the twinkling of eye, like, we're changed. But, like, God's goal when He saved us was to make us like Him, to make us like Christ. And being in His Word and letting His Word shape us is one of the ways that we can actively participate. We've been talking about spoudazo. Okay, I did use that, Rich, okay? Spoudazo, right? That means like give it your all, be diligent. In our spiritual life, one of the ways that we can have spude, okay, that means to be diligent, is for us to let the truths of God's Word marinate in our hearts. And that's why we need it every day. Now, if you miss a day, does that mean you go, oh, I can't believe it, or you miss a couple of days? Like, here's what it is. Today, be in God's Word. And when the next day is today, be in God's Word. And if yesterday you weren't, well, today, right, we have today. Today for us to be shaped by the truth of God's Word, letting His Word be in our head and our hearts. You see, in the book of Romans, Paul says, therefore, based on 11 chapters of the Gospel, in view of God's mercy, offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Like, this is our spiritual act of worship. Then he says this, don't be like the world. Don't let the world conform you into its image, but be transformed how? What does it say up there? By what? In the yellow. By the renewing of your mind. How do we have our mind made new? We let the truth of God be more real to us than just what we see or feel. We can live by faith, not by sight. Does that mean that life is easy and it's puppy dog and cupcakes? No. But we want to be people where we let God's Word be the foundation for our life. And you know what? I haven't arrived yet. None of us have arrived yet. But we're called to keep taking that step forward of being people in the Word. Because he says, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, when we coast downhill, right? Anybody ever done any kayaking or canoeing down a river? Okay? It's really fun to go with the current, right? Like, you go really fast. Anybody tried to, like, go against the current? Okay, I remember sometimes, like, as a family growing up, we'd go in the river and you go down a little bit and then you come back. And it was always better to go up the river first so that when you're tired, you can come back with the current, right? Because if you decided to go, like, an hour with the current and then you turn around, it's going to take you a lot more than an hour, right? But here's the thing. One time when Steph and I were kayaking, and we were in this river, and we were going down with the flow, and I was like, hey, let's go the other way, so just to try it out. And it's like, yeah, we got going up against the current, and then we just stopped, okay? So we're paddling against the current, and we're going against the current, and then we just stopped. And we didn't realize the moment that we stopped and started going the other way until we looked at the shore and saw it was moving the other way. And that can be how it is with our spiritual life. Like, when we stop paddling, We don't realize that we're drifting backwards until we, like, see a different perspective. And it was so eye-opening to me, because it's like we were just moving and then we just stopped, and I knew we weren't, like, moving fast, but it was like, oh, we're now going backwards. And so it's important for us that, Lord, will you help me to have a plan for how I let your truth impact my life on a daily basis? How I'm in your Word, how I'm getting your truth, how I'm focusing on that. Because you see, it will make a difference, and it does make a difference, especially as we grow more and more into it. So here's some of, like, why it's so important for us. Because sometimes we forget who God is. Like maybe we don't forget who God is, but we, like, live like we don't remember. Because it's really easy for us to forget. Life is hard and overwhelming, and we get focused on the storm, focused on the thing in front of us, and we forget that God is bigger and stronger, and He's working good in the midst, even when we don't understand it. And it's God's Word that helps us, like, step out and see the bigger picture. And so that's why it's important for us. Jesus said this in the book of Matthew, okay, after He had His longest recorded sermon, right? The Sermon on the Mount. He says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock, and the rain came and the streams were on and the wind blew it and beat against it, but it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Like, this person heard my word and sought to put it into practice. And he says, but the one who hears it and doesn't put them into practice, they're like a foolish man that built his house on the sand, and when the storm came, psh, and so it's important for us to be in God's Word, and not just be in it, but God, will you change me by your Word? Carl Drake, when he was leading Logos, used to say something like this before he preached every time. I tweaked it a little bit, okay? He'd say, everybody hold up your Bible, and he'd say, this is my Bible. As I read it and respond to it, God will change my life by the power of the Spirit. Like, that's in God's Word. As we let His Word get in us, God changes us by His Spirit. That's one of the ways He works. That's why it's important for us in our life. So, Hopefully we've laid a little bit of foundation of like why it's important, why it's worth our time, why it's something that it, part of the seriousness of walking out our faith is I want to be a man of God's Word. I want to let His Word in my head and in my heart. So how do we do that? Okay? We're going to briefly touch on a couple principles of when we engage Scripture. Okay? We're going to talk a little bit about some of the nuts and bolts, and then we're going to do some examples of it. Okay? Because it doesn't have to be this like intimidating, crazy thing. You don't have to read like chapter and chapter and chapter. You can. Okay? But here's the thing. When we go in God's Word, the first thing is for us to remember this is God's authoritative Word. Like it's true, and as a Christian, we want to live out His truth. And so when we approach it, we're like, we're approaching this as this is God's Word, and I put myself under Him and His Word. I want to live for Him. Okay, as we read it, it's good for us to consider like the genre of the book that we're reading. Okay, Psalms is different than Proverbs, which is different than one of the Gospels, which is different from like the history part of the Scriptures. Okay, so those are some of the things that we can look at. Okay, then when we study Scripture, we can look at like the plain meaning of the text. Okay, here's a quote that I've heard, and it got shortened down to this. Okay. When the plain sense of Scripture makes common sense, seek no other sense lest it result in nonsense. Okay, I didn't make that up. I'm not that clever. Okay, but here's the thing. For the bulk of the Scripture that we read, it's not like we've got to jump through hoops and twist all these things to find out what it means. God has made it approachable and accessible for us. And then the last thing as we look to engage Scripture is we let Scripture interpret Scripture. Anybody ever read something in Scripture that was like a real head-scratcher? You're like, I don't understand exactly what that means. Okay. Yes, there are some passages like, I don't get that. Some of those passages, you're like, I don't get that, but it's talking about something that I've read over here that makes a lot more sense. One of the examples I think about is in the book of Romans, Paul says, Abraham, the great father of faith, he wasn't saved by what he did. He was saved by believing in God. So you see, we are saved based on believing in God. And we're like, okay. And then James says, look at Abraham. He wasn't saved by what he believed. Do you see what he did? And we're like, wait a minute. I don't get how those both work together. And so we step back and we look at what Scripture says about believing in God and about that we're saved by grace through faith. And we look at that and we go, I see what James is saying. Here's what James is saying. He and Paul are not arguing, okay? Paul says, look, Abraham was saved by what he believed. And James is like, yeah, he was saved by what he believed. And look, his faith showed up in his actions. His faith showed up in obedience. And he says, look, the demons believe in God. They even shudder. But we look at Scripture, interpret Scripture, and we see that we're saved by grace through faith, not by what we do. And that James and Paul aren't arguing against each other. They're just talking about the same thing from a different perspective. So as we look in God's Word, these are some things that can guide us. Now, what kind of attitude does God desire us to have as we approach His Word, okay? This is something I found, okay? It's from the Westminster Larger Catechism, okay? Anybody know what a catechism is? Okay, a catechism is like an official like type of teaching something that different churches and denominations would have, and it's question-driven. You have a question, okay? So the question would probably be like, how should one approach the Scriptures? And then this would be the answer. Okay. Now, this is not inspired by God. This is not Holy Scripture. But it gives us, how does God want us to approach His Word? And I think it's helpful. Okay, here's what it says. The Holy Scriptures are to be read with a high and reverent esteem of them, with a firm persuasion that they are the very Word of God, and that only He can enable us to understand them, with desire to know, believe, and obey the will of God revealed in them, with diligence and attention to the matter and scope of them, with meditation, application, self-denial, and prayer. Okay, so kind of summarizing that up, this is kind of how I look at it. Number one, when we approach God, there's this reverence. Like, this is an awesome gift. God wants us to know Him. And so He's given us His Word so we can know Him. That there's this persuasiveness that God wants us to have. This is true, and I want to live my life by it. There is the earnestness. God, I want to know You. I want to know Your Word. I want to obey You and live for You. There's a diligence, and I want to study and know it. It'd be like you can experience water by water skiing, and you can experience water by scuba diving. And you learn different things about it, right? And the same thing with God's Word. As we approach it, saying, God, will You shape me and transform me? That there's a personalness. I want to come to Your Word and let You change me. I want to meditate on it. I want to apply it to my life. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to just look at, okay, what are some methods, okay? Maybe I don't necessarily like that word. I don't know why I put it on there. But like, how can we do this? Okay, because it's not like we got to do this method and this, but like, we want to engage God's Word. And there's a lot of different ways for us to get into God's Word. And some people may be more attracted to one thing or another thing, but the important thing is that we're letting God's Word shape us. So the first one is what I would call personal meditation, okay? Now, I'm not talking like meditation, like, you know, not like that, okay? But meditation, okay, in the Scripture, okay, it has the idea in Hebrew to mutter or murmur, okay? So like somebody muttering under their breath, okay? It's also the word that's used when the lioness is growling over her prey, like, okay, it's that's the word that is used, okay? The way I picture it is it's a hamster wheel of your head. Okay, anybody have a hamster wheel of their head that like you get focused on one thing and it just keeps coming back over and over and over, right? Okay, on the negative side, we know that's worrying, right? Anybody have a problem that just you can't let go of it? That's what meditation is. Like, we all know how to meditate because we're really good at meditating on a problem, on a worry, on an anxiety, right? So it's the same type of thing, but we go, God, will you let the hamster wheel in my head be your word? So this is where, okay, maybe we have a short passage of Scripture that we want to read and we want to, throughout the day, bring it back to our mind to meditate on it, to mutter about it, to murmur about it. That's what it means. One way that we could do this, okay, is we could maybe read the same passage of Scripture in multiple versions, just to kind of like see what we get. So let's try it out, okay? Here's Psalm 103, 1 through 5. We're going to read it through four different times in a couple different translations. And this could be one thing that you could do to get in God's Word, okay? Now here's what it says. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desire with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And you could just read that through a couple times. I thought it'd be interesting, like, well, let's read it in a couple different translations so it's just a little bit different. O my soul, come praise the Eternal with all that is in me, body, emotions, mind, and will, every part of who I am. Praise His holy name. O my soul, come praise the Eternal. Sing a song from a grateful heart. Sing and never forget all the good He has done. Despite all your many offenses, He forgives and releases you. More than any doctor, He heals your diseases. He reaches deep into the pit to deliver you from death. He crowns you with unfailing love and compassion like a king. When your soul is famished and withering, He fills you with good and beautiful things, satisfying you as long as you live. He makes you strong like an eagle, restoring your youth. How about the New American Standard? Bless the Lord, all my soul. It's interesting. It's different, right? Not praise the Lord. So maybe there's a connection between bless and praise, right? Or how many of you know the song, Bless the Lord, O My Soul, the 10,000 Reasons, right? Now, maybe you wouldn't have thought of it unless you read this version. I don't know. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Huh, remember we talked about loving kindness a couple months ago? That's often that word chesed, right? God's faithful, unfailing, covenanted love, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. Last one I'll look at, this is the Young's literal translation. Okay, this guy lived about 100 years ago, and what he wanted to do is very woodenly translate Hebrew and Greek. So it doesn't flow right as an English speaker, but he wants to emphasize some of the Hebrew. Let's listen to this. Bless, O my soul, Jehovah, all my inward parts, His holy name. Bless, O my soul, Jehovah, and forget not all His benefits, who is forgiving all thine iniquities, who is healing all thy diseases, who is redeeming from destruction thy life, who is crowning thee kindness and mercies, who is satisfying with good thy desire, renew itself as an eagle doth thy youth. Okay, that's not how we talk, right? But here's an interesting thing we can see from this. Perhaps in the Hebrew, that present tense is not just like God heals, but He is healing. He is redeeming. You see how it's just a little bit different way to look at it? It's not just that God redeems us from destruction, but right now, He's working in that way. So just there, we took a couple minutes and we just took five verses and we just read them a couple of different times. And maybe today there'll be a time that this will pop back in your head, where we get that's the hamster wheel of our mind. Another way that we can approach God's Word is like prayerful readings. Like when you come across the promise of God, you can pray His promise back to Him. Like, God, You said that You would be with me no matter where I go. God, You said You would bring peace to guard my heart and my mind, and I need that now. Or maybe there's things in there that it's like commands. Okay? Put off the old and put on the new. And you're like, God, I need Your help to do that. We approach Scripture prayerfully. Another way that sometimes I like to use, and this is one we've talked about before, it's an acronym. We want to soak in the Word of God, okay? What you do is you read the Scripture, you make some observations from it, okay? And then you go, God, how do You want me to apply this in my life? Like, what's one thing I can take from this? And then the K for kneeling in prayer, God, we thank You for Your Word, or will You help me with this? And then share it with somebody. And it could look something like this, okay? Let's look at this passage from James, okay? So the first part, we just read it, okay? My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looked like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. So we just read that little passage and then we go, okay, what's some things I observed from it? And this isn't like rocket science, okay? I remember when I was in college, I got a concussion playing soccer because I either got elbowed or headbutted in the face, okay? And I was in class later that week, and we were supposed to make observations from the Scripture. And I was like, I can't be a pastor because I don't know how to do this. And then it was like a week or so later, I was like, oh, I had a concussion. I couldn't think right. But it's like I was trying to make it this big thing, but it's like, no, okay? We look in verse 19. There's three things. We should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Like, that's wisdom straight from God. Wait before you speak. Wait before you get angry. Why? Next observation. Our anger doesn't bring about the righteousness God wants. And then he's connecting, like, our anger with, like, the rest of the things that God's telling us to, like, throw off. That God's saying, don't do these things. And what's the positive side of that? Throw off those things, and then what does he say? In verse 21, get rid of all these things and humbly accept the word planted in you. So the way for me to like walk in freedom is to humbly accept God's word. In humility, it's not me. It's the truth of God's word. Okay. Then he says, look, when you hear the word, don't just hear it. Do it. So that's an observation. When we hear God's word, he wants us to do it. Because if we don't, it's like anybody ever look in a mirror and see something on your face, you're like, oh, I got to take care of that. And then you leave and you forget. Anybody ever done that? No, maybe? Okay. That's what he's saying. Look, if you read God's word and it's like, hey, you're not living this way, or you're doing this and God's word says not to, and you're like, ooh, and then you close it up and you don't change, you don't let God impact you, it's like looking in the mirror and you got, you know, mud all over your face and you're like, I got to fix that, and then you just leave. But here's what he says. But look, if you intently look into the perfect law, if you let God's word get in your head and your heart, he's going to bring that change about in you. That's just a couple observations we can make from this. What does that mean for us? Okay, maybe you struggle with anger and you're like, this, God, I don't want to let anger rule me. Help me. Maybe that's your application. Maybe your application is, God, I want to get into your word and let it shape me. Maybe it's something else. And then you're like, Lord, it's really easy for me to get angry. I have a short fuse. Will you help me? Will you help me when something happens to wait? Slow to speak. Slow to become angry. And maybe that's it. That's soak. And then you can be like, hey, Pastor Adam, this is what I learned today in God's Word. Can you pray for me? Help me not to just explode in anger. And we're letting God's Word shape us. And it can be simple, right? So, the last method is, and don't worry, I'm not unpacking this whole thing. We'll be here all day. In community. That's what we're doing now. We're looking at God's Word together. Because, you know, like, we have a personal relationship with God, but we're also together in this. And so it's good for us to study Scripture together because sometimes we get a more full understanding. Or maybe we read this and we come to this conclusion that's just kind of bonkers. It happens. And we read Scripture together and we can be like, oh, man, I thought it meant this, but as we're sharing, I'm realizing that's not what it means because we need each other. So these are all different ways that we can engage in the Word of God. But like, what does all this mean for us? Okay, here's what it is. Let's get into the Word of God. Like, let's do it. When is the time in your life that you can, like, even if it's just a couple minutes, I want to get in God's Word. I want the truth of God impact me. When is it for you? Maybe it's not the same. Maybe it's not the same time every day. But you see, this is important for us. It's how we grow together. Let's do it together. So here's a couple of the so whats. Okay, try meditating on the Scriptures. Try that. Like, maybe here's a couple Psalms you could do. They're great ones. Just pick a couple verses, read them in a couple different translations. Maybe you do that every day for a week, and that's how you get in God's Word that week. Maybe you can find promises in the Scripture. Okay? You can Google, what does the Bible say about this? And find the passage. And you, God, this is what your Word says. Will you help me live that out? Try that soaks method, okay? You don't have to be real rigid about it, but just you read Scripture, you go, okay, here's some things I observe. God, how does this impact my life? And ask Him for help. Now, is there a time? I mean, like, can you, like, really dig? Like, you can spend hours and hours and hours in God's Word digging in. Awesome! Do that! But remember, even like those little things we do on a daily basis is going to shape us. So let's do it. And up there, I just put, if you're not reading the Scripture now and you go like, where to start? Well, if you want to, you can start reading through the Gospel of Mark, because we'll eventually get back to that. The book of Titus or the book of Ephesians are also great ones that are just encouraging and challenging in your faith. But if you want to get in God's Word and you're not sure where to start, then talk to myself, talk to Pastor Adam. We'd love to come alongside you. We'd love to hear how God is working in you. Because it's those little daily things. Like, it matters so much. Because we've all probably been there when we know that, like, we haven't been in God's Word, and we can see that, like, I'm going backwards. I didn't realize I stopped paddling, but I'm coasting, and I'm going. We've all been there, right? And when we let God's Word shape us, that's one of the ways that we can walk as disciples. I'm going to leave you with, I'm going to just read this passage at the end. Okay, it's going to be up on the screen, but you can just listen as our praise band comes on up. This is an invitation by God to meet Him, and it doesn't have this. This doesn't necessarily mean only through His Word, but that's what we're talking about today. So here's what He says: Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come. Buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the riches of fare. God is saying, come to me, meet me in my word. I'm here for you. Give ear and come to me, hear me that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I've made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not. Nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for He has endowed you with splendor. Then get this. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and He will have mercy on him. To our God and He will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And here's the verse I really wanted to focus on. As the rain and snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish, so that it yields its seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. It will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You know, there's like that water cycle, right? We learned about it in science class. It rains, and the water accomplishes all that stuff, and then it evaporates, and it happens all over again. And God is like, so my word, when my word goes out, it accomplishes what I want it to. So He says, come to me. Come to me. Drink your fill. Find out who I am. Let my word be what drives your life. Because you see, we want to be living as a disciple. And daily being in God's Word is going to help us in that. Let's pray. God, I'm grateful for Your Word. God, it's challenging for us. God, I pray that we'll take this challenge and we'll seek to step into it Lord, help us not to try to step into this on our own strength. I got it, because that's not it. But God, we want to know you more. We want to walk right behind you. And so, God, will you help us to be intentional about being in your word so that we can more closely follow you? Will you set us free in the ways that we need freedom? Will you empower us and encourage us and strengthen us? Will you help us to be your people? Help us to be people of the word. We love you, we worship you, in your name we pray. Amen.